Welcome back to Your Valley Sports Plugs Roundtable Live. It is Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. I'm your host, Chris Patrick, and boy, oh boy, do we have a ton to talk about. So I don't want to waste too much time. Just know it's going to be Cardinals draft heavy. Arizona Diamondbacks, we got to check in on them, and the NBA playoffs are heating up. But first, let me introduce to you the panel here. Of course, we have my co-host, Mr. Benjamin. What's going on, brother?
Chris, gentlemen, how we doing? As the kids would say, I think Monty cooked, baby. The Arizona Cardinals, what a draft. But I'm excited to get into it. Nico, Mr. T Jr., how you guys doing tonight?
Living, guys. Glad to be back. Another exciting, it's my favorite time of year, man. Draft time is the peak of being a football fan, because everybody still believes they could win a Super Bowl, especially with a pick that they make during the 2025 NFL draft. That rookie is going to deliver them to the promised land. It is a beautiful time to be an Arizona sports fan. Cardinals football around the corner. Man, I'm just pumped. Mr. T, how are we feeling, bro?
Oh, I'm excited. We went and got my man from Michigan, dude. I'm excited to get a Michigan man jersey. I know everybody was a little afraid of that, but I'm excited, dude. I think we're in that moment right now where, like, playoffs are kind of ending. We're going to have that little lull in sports where we all sit there and can't wait for football to start. We eat, breathe, and sleep it. So I'm excited to see what you guys think about the draft. It seems like Mr. Benjamin up there is a little excited, which I like to see for once, a little optimism from once from an Arizona sports fan. But, man, it's good to see we have a competent GM.
It's funny you mentioned that, Matt. I feel like the time when Arizona sports fans are most optimistic is during the offseason. So this is where I get to be optimistic about the Cardinals. I did enjoy the draft. None of the VSP 5 we identified last week were selected, but that's okay. We did talk about some of the guys we did end up getting here. First, before we dive into all that, I would like to invite everyone who's watching back to like and subscribe right here on Valley Sports Plug's YouTube channel, Valley Sports Plug on Facebook, at AZ_VSP on Instagram, X, TikTok, and every social media platform. We're there. Check our link tree in the description below. Also, the next day, we have the audio podcast up for your streaming pleasure on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to your podcast. But gentlemen, the Cardinals drafted Walter Nolan III, defensive tackle, with their first pick in the first round. I think it was the 16th pick out of Mississippi, 6'4", 296, first team, all-purpose, all-American. People are saying this was a really good pick. He dropped to us only because of some character concerns that were kind of levied against him. I had heard rumors of him not always showing the most effort, an occasion where he left practice early without permission. So he tried to put those to rest, says it's all just noise and he's going to show up and show out and put in the work. So you always hear this kind of stuff around the draft, and I feel like it doesn't go out there for a reason, so there might be some level of truth to it. But clean slate here with Arizona. But I'll start with you, Mike, and we'll kick it around here. What did you think of that first pick of Walter Nolan?
Stellar. And I think a big reason why he wasn't in the VSP 5, like you said, Chris, I don't think anybody really expected him to be there. I mean, absolute stud, was a first team all AP, all American, 6.5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss last year. He has that NFL starting size. He gains quick advantages with explosiveness into contact. Obviously, he's still a young player. There's things to develop. He's going to have to work better with his hands, you know, at the point of attack. But he's got the athleticism. He's got the strength. And he really is built to be a three-down interior lineman, which is something the Arizona Cardinals are going to need down the road. But this was the beautiful, perfect type of pick for bolstering this defensive line. And we know the Arizona Cardinals went heavy defense this draft, but you're not going to ask him to be the savior right away. He's going to be able to get in there and learn from quality guys like Calais Campbell, Dalvin Tomlinson. It's really going to be by committee, and I think he's going to come on faster than expected. And it's awesome to see 2 years in a row we spend first-round capital in the trenches, gentlemen. What do they always say about football? You win up front. And just awesome, awesome, stellar, almost steal of a pick for him dropping a 16. But I don't know about you guys, Nico, Mr. T Jr. I think it was an absolute home run for the first round for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, you do – how did the Eagles win a Super Bowl this year? O-line, D-line, right? That was the formula to the success, O-line, D-line. I sent this into the group chat the night that the pick was made. The more and more I thought about this pick, the more scared I've got. We've drafted defensive linemen from Ole Miss before that are supposed to be game changers.
Say his name. And, just say it.
Robert Kim DG. I hope that that's not this. That's me being a jaded Arizona sports fan. We are in the off season. It is time to be optimistic. All the signs point to yes when it comes to Walter Nolan. So we're going to ride with yes. And Mike makes a great point. Calais Campbell being in that locker room does, I think, a lot for a guy like Walter Nolan. For me, I think one shouldn't have been there. Should not have been there. And that seemed to be the way that the entire draft went. Every round, the guys just being there that shouldn't have been there. He was there, and we took him. And I think I'm excited to see him play. It'll be cool to watch him develop over the next couple of years.
Is the 6.5 sacks, 14 tackles for a loss in one season?
Yep, yes, it was sir. Just last season.
For an interior lineman, that is outrageous, my dudes. That is – yeah, no, this – we have Bilal Nichols, we have Calais Campbell in the locker room. I have no problem with any sort of character issue or anything like that. Like, he is going to learn from some pros who have been around the game for 6, 7, 8 years. Calais being pretty much a Cardinal legend coming back for his final season. So I'm thinking it's his final season, his little last year. I was hoping Patrick Peterson would do the same, but I know that didn't happen. We had him announcing draft picks for us this year, but yeah, dude, I'm excited about this pick. I know at first when I texted the group, I was kind of pissed off because I really wanted to get a wide receiver. Golden being there, I was like, I was actually kind of upset, but I think Nico persuaded me a little bit. I think who was it? Somebody was in there saying that. I think it was Mike. You said it, saying that the more that you thought about it, the better that, you know, it made sense that it addressed something that we needed. Yeah, we all want the fun wide receiver that's flashy, scoring touchdowns, but this is somebody that I could see playing for us for 10 years, being a lockdown position and just leading that front interior seven.
Yeah. And it was Monty Austinfort actually on the radio, I think Monday, basically said that they're going to stick to their draft board and the guys that they have ranked highest and not be distracted by the shiny objects. And everyone wants the sexy positions, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, the running backs, the guys that you're going to see front and center. But honestly, like, through this draft, it showed that Monty has the discipline to have a plan and stick to it. I don't think he probably thought Will Johnson was going to be there in the second round, and they identified him as a talent. I mean, we'll get to Will Johnson in a second, but last thing I wanted to say on Walter Nolan and some chatter that I heard is it's really kind of boom or bust with him. And I think a lot of these guys could probably fall into that description. And you know, we could get lucky, and it's almost like the quote-unquote time signs where they're all booms. I guess that doesn't really count as a time sign, but you know what I'm saying. A good draft pick where they're all booms, usually it's going to be a mixed bag. Some will stick, some won't. But with Walter Nolan, I've heard that his draft profile between the character concerns, the effort concerns, is very comparable to another former face in the Valley in DeAndre Ayton, where on certain nights – he looks like he could be an all-pro perennially. And then other nights, it looks like he's going to be cut the next week. So it seems like you never really knew what you were going to get out of Walter Nolan. Now, like I kind of said at the top, I hope that's all in the past. And he's got a clean slate here in Arizona. He's a professional now with a bunch of good guys around him. I mean, you mentioned Calais Campbell. That's going to be a good mentor for him to get his career started with. Now, probably only a one-year proposition, but better than nothing, right? And if you're coming into this good culture that the Arizona Cardinals have started to build over the last 2 years, I think the sky's the limit. So I'm going to remain optimistic that Walter Nolan will live up to the hype and show us that those character concerns are a thing of the past. But moving on to the second round and the 47th overall pick, cornerback Will Johnson out of Michigan. Mr. T Jr. is very familiar with this man, stumped for him hard to be in the VSP5, and maybe we should have listened, but that was for the 16th pick, to be fair. I think if you had asked Mike and I last week if we thought the Cardinals should take Will Johnson with the second pick, we would have taken 0.2 seconds to say yes. This is outstanding. Again, I only say boom or bust about Will Johnson because of the injury concerns. He didn't run the 40 at the combine, had turf toe and missed the last six or so games of the season. But man, I'm going to kick it over to you guys and get your reaction to this pick.
Matt, I think it's only right that you jump in on Will Johnson first. Go for it.
This dude is next to like JJ. This is my God. He literally gave me a national championship. The injury concerns are warranted. I will say that. Like they're definitely there. It was something that was lingering for the past, I want to say, two seasons, because he had it a little bit last year with, I think, the lower leg and the turf toe. And I think the season prior, he came off before the national championship, had something as well. But man, at a second pick, 47th overall, any other season, any other time, no injury, nothing like that, he's a top 10 without a doubt. There's no question about it. So for me, it kind of gives me those shades of, I remember when we drafted Tyrann Mathieu and everybody was like, oh, he got kicked off the team. And I know it's not the same character-wise, injury issues, kind of the same bubble of doubt around them, but I think it's somebody that's going to be surprisingly really good for us and can be one of those dudes that can play man coverage. He's a ball hawk. The guy can lock down tackle. Yeah, he's just it's a steal. This is a A++ grade.
Yeah, I agree. It's crazy to think that he's like in the second round. He was mocked at the beginning of this whole thing, like top five, you know, like this is like, the fact that he was available in the second round is mind blowing, but it's kind of like what I said earlier. It is a theme in this draft is that, like, for some reason, those two through like round five guys, that was a very deep pool, and with names that everybody knows. Will Johnson, I mean, I watched some of the YouTube highlights and all that kind of stuff. This dude kind of reminds me a little bit of Patrick Peterson. I know his draft grade was comparable to Trayvon Diggs, but like I like him more to Pat Pete. He's got great ball skills. This dude can stay healthy, man. This is kind of what I've been clamoring for. Is like I want a lockdown fucking corner, and it looks like if Will Johnson can stay healthy, he can be a lockdown corner at a hell of a bargain price in the second round.
And gentlemen, I think you probably know this about me. As a person who would have been a Michigan man himself, because I got into school there, if it didn't cost $80,000 a year to go there, that's besides the fact. I love being a Michigan man, dude. Will Johnson. The beautiful thing about what the Arizona Cardinals did in this draft as well, it was guys from big name schools, and there are multiple champions on this list that we're going to touch on later as well. You love adding winners. It doesn't matter at what level. You love adding winners to your locker room because you know what it takes to truly get to the mountaintop. And we know that Will Johnson is that guy, right? The infamous pick against Michael Penix Jr. in the 2023 National Championship game. He was the defensive MVP of that game as well. He set a school record 3 interceptions returned for touchdowns. I think Nico touched on it perfectly as well. He's a big fluid corner. He is so instinctive, man. He has great body control. The change of direction in space is amazing. He has great pre-snap recognition as well. The one thing that's a knock on him as well, though, is, you know, he doesn't really have the catch-up speed or the recovery speed. So he's going to have to, you know, give respect to NFL route runners in this league. But at 47, how can you pass on somebody that was truly a top 10 talent in this draft? And Chris, you kind of touched on it as well. And we did on our, you know, draft preview where there wasn't any true, like, absolute Hall of Fame worthy note name guys either than maybe Travis Hunter in this draft. So if you can find the diamonds in the rough, that's where you're going to have to get success from this draft. And we're crossing our fingers that Will Johnson is one of them. And the beautiful thing is, for me, we can get Sean Murphy Bunting's butt on the sideline because he is going to compete for the starting opposite corner of Max Melton to start. And man, bring me a Michigan man. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's a good ad for our defense. Like both Nolan and Will Johnson, people are already ready to dub him Patrick Peterson 2.0, which I mean, Mike, you haven't busted this one out in a while, but we might need to pump the brakes on that one a little bit. Wait till he gets on the field. Let's see if he can stay healthy. Because when Patrick Peterson announced he's retiring a Cardinal, that was one of the things that we highlighted was Peterson's availability was one of his hallmarks. The only time he really missed games, if I'm remembering correctly, is when he was suspended as an Arizona Cardinal. So Will Johnson, high ceiling, but if he can't stay healthy, obviously he won't be any good to us. But yeah, I mean, I'm like, honestly, not to get sidetracked, but just as an aside, I think Garrett Williams is going to have a good step up year as well. So that cornerback room is going to start looking real nice here pretty soon for us. But fellas, let's keep it pushing on to the third round with the 78th pick. The Arizona Cardinals selected edge Jordan Burch out of Oregon, the 6'4", 279 pound man. First three seasons he spent at South Carolina as a Gamecock. I know Matt loves Gamecocks. He had 16 sacks, 31 tackles for loss in his college career. So, again, another linebacker. I think the Cardinals have like 13 or 14 of them on the roster. So not everybody's going to make the cut. But we'll start with Matt again since he's been waiting patiently. Matt, how do you like this pick for the Cardinals?
I honestly did not watch much of him. I saw the tape when we picked him. I was really happy that we got another edge rusher. I think me and Mike had talked about it and we both saw the pick and we're like, another edge pick. Like we were surprised to see that. So, I mean, it's a big room. It's going to be a room where not like you were saying, Chris, not everybody's going to make it, but I would think with the third round pick, he's going to be in there for sure. Good size, good body, 6'4", 280. I could only imagine him maybe getting a little bit more muscle. He looks like a freak in that picture right there. He looks terrifying. But I just like to see us addressing, like you were saying, it's really easy for us to go flashy and get the sexy position and do this and that. Like, it's nice to see us really addressing things that are like a big concerns, and they're players from big schools. It's not these little schools where it's like, I know in our top five last week, I brought up the gentleman from Marshall who is having some off-field allegations, but his stats look great. But it's one of those things where you play competitions, it's not super great. So at Oregon, you're playing some good people. South Carolina, SEC, you're playing some decent people. So no, I think it's a great pick. I think it's something where you're going to see him on the field. Any of these defensive guys, you're going to see all three of these guys on the field at some point this season. It's one of those things where with Will Johnson, the talent, you're not going to be able to deny it. Same thing with Walter. You can't deny it. I'm curious to see where he fits in as an edge rusher, but it's nice to see that we're starting to get bodies and there's no more Dennis Gardeck.
Oh, you don't like the Barbarian?
I love him, dude, but he can't. He can't be our
Dennis Gardeck out here catching strays. Uncalled for.
You can't have an edge room, unfortunately, and you know, we love the Barbarian, but you can't have an edge room where he's leading the team in sacks with six sacks.
Correct. You'll never be a Super Bowl team with that.
So with this pick and what the Arizona Cardinals obviously did in the free agency period, as well as what they've done throughout this draft addressing the defense and specifically the defensive line, guys, what did I talk about last week too? My emotional damage has been addressed. They went after the biggest glaring weakness on this team, which was the pass rush and the interior, and really just, you know, doing stuff like, you know, really making it hard and really like continuously putting impact on QBs. And as an edge rusher, Jordan Burch should have some opportunities to do that. Now, you know, two seasons at Oregon, 11 and a half sacks, 18 and a half tackles for loss. One of the other cool things too, and I don't know if you guys have been noticing this, it's the same with Hayden Connor, and obviously Will Johnson has a relationship with Marvin Harrison Jr. as both of them, you know, went head-to-head matchups, the best of the best. But, you know, the other two guys from Ohio State, Cody Simon and Denzel Burke coming in, there's like built-in relationships in this team with some of these guys. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but Jordan Burch is a former high school teammate with outside linebacker Xavier Thomas. So if you are bringing guys into the fold that already have relationships, you know, some guys that might have notoriety within the locker room already are vouching for these guys. So it can almost be kind of a seamless transition for them to come in and have, you know, good relationships starting to be built earlier than, you know, if you just have random dudes coming into, you know, a locker room. But Jordan Birch, he's energetic. He's got some good get off. He's got long strides. He's going to have to get a little bit more creative as a rusher as well, but he attacks those angle blocks well, and he rarely allows tackles to be broken. That is a bugaboo of mine when it comes to the big men. If you can stop him at the line, especially in the run game, you're going to have a long career. So this is another solid one, but it's still kind of a project at the end of the day, I would say, too. I don't know what you think about that, Nico.
I think he's – I honestly think he might be a steal for us in the third round. I think that just watching that Oregon team this year, like, they had no issue getting to the quarterback on four. That's everybody doing their job. Just because you don't necessarily get the sack or get the number doesn't mean that you didn't contribute to the quarterback going down. I think this might be a steal. I think this dude's good, fast off the edge. Good hands. If we can get just a little bit more muscle on him, a little bit bigger, kind of get him out of that NBA kind of body frame that he looks like he has right now, maybe put a little bit more meat on his bones. I think we might be in store for a surprise. But I think Mike hit it on the head. It's definitely more of a project with a third round pick. Obviously, when the picks go on and on, they become more and more projects. But I think the talent, like we said here, is undeniable with Johnson and Nolan. Birch, a little bit more of a project, but I think he's going to develop into a stud. It'll be nice to see. Plus, any Oregon Duck on the team is good with me. So,
get out of here with that. But no, I think everything you're saying about Jordan Birch, I definitely agree with. The thing I'd heard about him is he is a very raw talent indeed, and he'll need to develop his signature move is going to be, really find his identity in the NFL to be able to make it to that next level. But a good base, a good starting point for the young man, and excited to have him on the roster. Just want to round out the rest of this draft for the Cardinals. We had Cody Simon, inside linebacker out of the Ohio State. Denzel Burke, which I'm going to come back to him, cornerback, also from Ohio State. Hayden Connor, outside line, Texas. And Ketan Crawford, safety, out of Texas. So two Ohio State, two Texas to finish out the draft. There it is. If you're watching on YouTube, Mike's got the graphic up for us. I want to talk about the cornerback, Denzel Burke, because now the cornerback room is getting a little crowded, but this is a guy that you need to root for to make this roster and be a part of this team. He is a local kid, grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, as a Cardinals fan, and you don't always get that. Sometimes you'll get the hometown kid, but there's no guarantee they were a fan of the team growing up. And I don't know if it was introductory press conference or a radio interview, but he was talking about being a kid up in the stands with his family, watching the Cardinals play, loving Fitz, loving Pat P, all those guys. He started at Brophy, which I know, disgusting, Brophy College Prep, and then ended up at Saguaro to finish out his high school career before moving on to Ohio State. But guys, I'm really excited about that kid. I hope he makes it. Curious what you think about the last part of the draft, and also how we're becoming the Ohio State Cardinals. I think that's also very interesting. Matt, I know you gotta love that, right?
Matt, how do you feel about that, man?
Once they take off the Buckeye, it's all good, dude. Once they put on that Cardinal, I don't care. But to go to Ohio State, you gotta be good. That's all that matters. Ohio State, at the end of the day, is a great football team. They win national day. I think they won it last year. They're a great team. I think the Denzel Burke pick is awesome, dude. I think the hometown kid, I think it's crazy to hear a kid that just got drafted talk about being a kid in the stands watching Patrick Peterson. I feel old when I hear that. I'm like, wait, what? I see they're born in like 2003 too. I was like, what did I do in my life to not get these choices? But anyways, I'm excited, dude. That defensive back room, our entire defense, this was a defense draft, boys. We restocked pretty heavy defensively, which is what we really needed. I think this year, now that we have Marv going into the second season, I think Kyler, I think we have our offense pretty set. The line's looking pretty. Our defense was just always the issue. We didn't have the number one corner. There was always Murphy bunting, trying to fight people. I'm excited with the Ohio State. I have no problem with us getting Ohio State kids, because Ohio State kids, A, play really good because they have to be good, and B, are usually pretty good character guys. There's never really anybody too wild coming out of there. So, no, I'm excited. I hope he makes it. I'm almost certain anybody we draft is going to make it. I think we're going to start seeing the fleshing of like the old, and here comes the new. And we're going to have people like Calais come back to create that culture to be like, this is how you do it as a pro. This is what being a Cardinal is.
Well, Matt, that is the right mentality to have. I appreciate that in regard to the Ohio State Cardinals that consistently come in. Another thing on Denzel Burke too, guys, it just seems like in regard to cornerbacks, Monty Ausenfort likes to draft at least two of them every year just to kind of cycle through and see who's going to stick and fit. But I know a lot of us in regard to the hometown kid, even though technically he's not, we wanted Cam Scatterboo. Some of us were pining for it. But we also discussed how it didn't truly make sense to bring in Cam unless you were using late round capital there. And Cam went early in the fourth. But I honestly love this Cody Simon pick at inside linebacker. He's a winner. National championship game defensive MVP. We literally have the past two national championship game defensive MVPs on the Arizona Cardinals now. It's incredible, man. But he's going to have a chance, guys. He really is going to have a chance. Solid Mike linebacker. He's got that stout frame, good toughness. He's got decent instincts and awareness to diagnose action. So, you know, he can cover inline tight ends as well. He's going to have an opportunity. I think, but the steal, one of the late round steals who you're not really going to see too much on the defensive end is Keaton Crawford, guys. I mean, spent 4 years at Texas. He transferred to Nevada so he could get defensive snaps. But he's going to be a stalwart on special teams. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if this kid makes plays for a number of years in special teams. He's basically the next Joey Blunt, and he'll be playing right alongside of him. So you have to build out your team with those kind of guys and who have those kind of character qualities to fit within a system and really be, you know, craftsmen at what they're asked to do. And Keaton did that his entire time at Texas, and he got a different opportunity at Nevada to play defense. Don't know if he'll really see much space or time at safety position, but yeah, it's Monty cooked. I don't know what else to say about this, Capellas.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we're doing this now. Have a couple, you know, of days to think about it, let it simmer, soak up the opinions that are out there, learn more about these guys. I think, honestly, just a really good draft. A lot of people are saying they are kind of starting to follow the Eagles model, which should come as no surprise with the close ties Jonathan Gannon has to that team. But it starts on the defensive end. They say defense wins championships, and I believe that to be true. Nico, I don't want to skip over you. Did you get a chance to chime in on these late picks?
I think these guys both kind of hit it on the head. Denzel Burke is one to keep my eye on. I also love a little bit of Texas meat. Hayden Connor, man, this dude is a fucking workhorse. Just a big beefy boy who loves to mash meat, man. And it's getting down in the trenches. I fucking love that. Let's get to it. That's my opinion, Chris.
Well, I got to throw this in on Hayden Connor. According to PFF, he was the only guard in FBS to have over 550 snaps without allowing a sack. I mean, we have the interior line pretty shored up right now, but you got to bring in those kind of guys for the next guard to see if they might be a part of something, right? Texas meat.
Well, wait.
Texas meat, brother.
He's 6'6". You guys are going to say Kyler can't see over him.
No, you're the only one saying that. We're not saying that anymore.
No, I know. I love Kyler. You guys know that.
Kyler can't see over the 5'10 guard. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Your dead ass just spot on you. Actually, looking at the Keaton Crawford, I'm looking at his combine stuff because I admittingly didn't look too much into it. Seventh round pick. Kid's a fucking stud, dude. Ran a 4.4 40, 41.5-inch vertical jump, 18 reps at the bench press. His vertical jump tape at the combine looks wild, dude. So that he's a freak athlete. He's one of those dudes that can – it looks like he was a stud when he was playing at Nevada too, 74 tackles, a couple pass breakups, interception for a touchdown. He might be sneaky, man. It's one of those ones where it's like you find a diamond in the rough every now and then.
Yeah, and at over 200 pounds, all just barely not even sniffing 6 foot, dude's built. So basically, like Mike said, Monty cooked. Really happy with the draft. It's not gonna solve all of our problems. There's still some holes they need to work out. Obviously, there's a glaring weakness in our wide receiver room that has yet to be addressed and likely won't be able to be addressed, but that is definitely another conversation for another day, because there are a couple other draft related topics I want to get to while we're chatting football. The big one, and I think the most important one, is our boy Cam Scataboo, as Mike alluded to, getting drafted in the fourth round to the New York Giants. I will just say real quick and real briefly, I think this is a fantastic fit for him, to be honest. The Giants have no run game. There's pretty much going to be nobody ahead of him in the depth chart. I think Cam has an opportunity to get a lot of snaps as a rookie playing for the Giants. I'm going to be very curious when we do our fantasy football draft, who reaches for him and when. I imagine it'll be much sooner than the average draft pick, but honestly, might not be a bad idea. Matt, I see you cheesing down there. What do you think of this?
I mean, him getting drafted the Giants was the best thing that's going to happen, because he's third on the depth chart right now behind Devin Singletary. And I think they have Tyrone Stingley or whatever is their number one. So I think, I think Cam's measured out at what, 5'11", 215. Devin Singletary is a shorter dude. I think Cam, if he has a good camp, you might see him splitting some sort where it's situational, but I think you might see him getting a goal line thing here where he sneaks in a couple touchdowns or something like that. So somebody's picking him. I know somebody is going to take him really early just because he is a hometown guy. He was awesome for us. He's probably, in the last 5 years that I can remember, my favorite ASU player. So no, I'm so happy. The video watching him get drafted, man, it was really cool to see him get to experience that, hear his name. But yeah, I think you're going to see him a little bit this next season, just given that he was drafted into a situation where it is the Giants. There is no perennial all-star number one running back where he's going to be in a room to where it might be, you know, running by committee. So good for him. I'm happy he didn't go to somewhere like the Chiefs or somebody I don't like. The Giants, I can root for, because I know they're just at the bottom of the barrel right now. So it's just like, I hope they do good, but who knows? Good for Cam. Happy to see the kid get drafted.
Man, that scene was quite the scene. You know, he was so overcome with emotion. You could see how much that meant to him. And I think, like, sometimes, at least like for me as an ASU fan, I get kind of lost in how special last season was, and how special that was for those guys. Cam, man, if the Devils don't have the season that the Devils have, Cam's not going 105. Cam's like doing what Shiloh did, which is getting signed as an undrafted free agent. You know, like I truly think that, like, that it just says a lot about what Kenny's doing. And for Cam to show that kind of emotion, it shows how much that it means to those guys. Another little recruiting feather in your hat, in your cap there, Kenny. Nice job. But for Cam, man, it is a great situation to go to. New York media, pretty unforgiving, but the Giants are a dumpster fucking hole. The Jets are a dumpster hole. They don't really expect much out of any of their football teams. So for Cam to go where they're, like, actively trying to rebuild, I think that's an awesome thing. He's got, like, Tyrone Tracy, I think, in front of him. That, like, he had a great year. He had 1,000 yards rushing, I believe. But, man, it gives Cam the ability to really just kind of go down and put that big-ass forehead of his into somebody's chest suplex and knock him into next week. Well, Tyrone Tracy runs around everybody. It is going to be an exciting brand of football eventually. I don't know if the Giants are going to be lightning in a bottle right now, but it will eventually be an exciting brand of football. I'm pumped for him. Congrats.
You don't think that Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo are going to be the face of the league within the next 3 seasons, Nico?
I actually do like Jackson Dart, bro. I don't know. I like Jackson Dart. I think New York is going to eat Jackson Dart up. I think he's going to have a cocaine problem within a year and a half.
Oh, come on.
Hey.
I'm just saying. I've seen him. It's Broadway Joe all over.
The Big Apple ain't for the weak, but I feel like the Big Apple is a perfect place for Cam Scadaboo. You guys have said a lot of the right things when it comes down to Cam. The opportunity. That's what we wanted for this kid. Truly the opportunity to go out there and get touches early within his career, because we know there is a shelf life on NFL running backs. So if he can come out right out of the gates hot, prove himself early, you're talking about him being around in the league as long as he's healthy and getting a healthy second contract, which these are the type of guys that you always want to see get paid, especially somebody who's done so much for the Valley and the juice that he brought back to Arizona State football last year. Excited for the kid, man. I don't think I really have too much else to say about Cam Scadaboo. I'm rooting for him, but at the end of the day, still. It's kind of like Brock Purdy, guys. Once you put on another team's uniform, you become the enemy to a certain extent. And the Giants are still in the NFC, so they better not be making, you know, real big playoff pushes over us anytime soon. But excited for him, man. Congrats.
Yeah, no, I really can't add too much more to that. Just really, really happy for Scadaboo. I agree with Mike, though. Sorry, Scat. It's kind of fuck the Giants, and unfortunately you're gonna be lumped in with that. So hey, maybe at some point in his career, you know, James Conner's getting up there a little bit. I think he's still got some gas left in the tank, but maybe Scadaboo's second contract, we can get him back here in Arizona. I think he's gonna have a good long career, as long as a career as a running back can have, and he's truly a testament, man. Honestly, like, I'm pretty sure he was basically unrecruited out of high school, went to Sacramento State, worked real hard there, transferred to ASU, and this last season is the reason he got drafted in the fourth round and maybe even drafted, period. And to double down Nico's point, it's fantastic for ASU from a recruiting standpoint, and a testament again to what Kenny Dillingham is doing in building that program. And then Sam Levis, the quarterback. Levitt, Sam Levitt, he was heavily recruited to go elsewhere and enter the transfer portal, take big NIL money, and he stayed here. So those two things, great for ASU football, and I look forward to talking about that down the pipe. But Mike, we have another massive story from the draft. Of course, Cam Ward was taken number one overall by the Titans. Mel Kiper was having an absolute meltdown, not necessarily because of Cam Ward, but because he believes Shedeur Sanders was the best available quarterback in the NFL draft. And he didn't go in the first round. He didn't go in the second round. Mike, he didn't go in the third round. And he didn't go in the fourth round. He got drafted in the fifth round with the 144th overall pick by the Cleveland Browns, who had already drafted Dylan Gabriel. My goodness, man. This has been the talk of the town since Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And I'm sure people have heard plenty about this, but we got to chime in. So what are your thoughts, Mike?
Gentlemen, I'm like a lot of you guys. I mean, what the hell happened? Truly, honestly, what the hell happened? At the end of the day, there is no shot that Shedeur Sanders' talent should have catapulted him drastically down in this draft to be a fifth round pick, where I think that same Mel Kiper, who was having a meltdown, basically said of the past 30 seasons out of, I don't know, 60 something fifth round quarterbacks that were drafted, there was one that found success in the NFL. So Shedeur is already finding himself with two or three steps behind most of these guys. And even in the Cleveland Browns quarterback room, I mean, yes, you have Joe Flacco, who is 2 feet from the grave, but Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, who else do we got there? There's five different quarterbacks now. He might not even be in a situation of, you know, his contract's not going to be very high no matter what. Obviously, that doesn't matter to him. He's already rich from his daddy. But, like, wow. I don't think anybody saw this coming. Matt, you called it perfectly. I think we were texting about that as well. There was no shot he was going to be a first-round pick. And Jackson Dart found himself exactly where you said, in the mid-20s, going to the New York Giants. What a call. I had to give you props on that. But to not go second round for what talent Shedeur really has is really crazy. But if anybody has been paying attention to the national media in regard to what truly happened or what the speculation has been, you know, there's been the talks about his draft prep, how he didn't really prepare, how people didn't like, you know, him being full of himself. And there's ways to convey it, but then there's other ways where it seems like Shador went the wrong way. And then there's obviously, you know, the issues with his father saying that he's eventually going to come and coach his son one day. And it just rubs GMs and franchises the wrong way. And you saw that. But I think at the end of the day, and it's still speculation, it was a guy who did not prepare properly for the interview. And this is what happens. You don't get the job, but at least in the NFL, there's 250 something picks. So he did get picked, but this is crazy. I don't know. I mean, I know you guys think it's crazy too, but like, how ridiculous do you feel this is, Nico, Matt?
I don't know, man. We've seen quarterbacks slide. I'll hedge the conspiracy stuff, but like, man, people don't like Dion. People don't like the way that Shador approached these meetings. Everything that I've heard is that like his meeting with the Giants was absolute garbage. It was like one of the worst meetings that they've seen. I don't, you know, and obviously all this is, you hear this, the fodder and whatnot, you know, who knows what's true and what's what, but like, it's not the only person to say that these meetings were trash. But on the other side of it, his physical, his God-given ability to play football should have kept him in the third round, which is why when I can't remember who it was, but I texted the group chat and said, if Vegas doesn't take Shador right here, he's not going into the third round. And they didn't take him. And then all of a sudden, you know, you wake up on Sunday and fourth round's done and you're in the middle of the fifth round. You're like, what the hell is happening? And you're looking at Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, Tyler Shug, like all these guys that haven't really been better quarterbacks than Shador all season. You know, it was a very interesting thing to see. It is very, you know, it's very what in the LeVar Ball happened here. It does feel like Dion coming out and saying he's only going to play for this team and he's only going to play for that team. And like that shit does not sit well in the NFL. And they tolerated it when Prime was playing because he was, it's the NFL. What have you done for me lately? Prime was delivering results. They're going to deal with the antics and the shenanigans. They're not going to let you do it as somebody's daddy. And I think that was kind of – they made a case out of Shador, and I don't think that that's necessarily fair to Shador. But, man, everything that surrounded this whole thing, the performing his original song, Perfect Timing, at the end of night one after not getting drafted, the fucking prank phone call from Ulbrich's son – like everything that happened with this, like you went from cringe to hurt and hurt. And like, you just felt for him the more it happened because you knew that like the media is not going to take it easy on this guy. They're just going to beam him mercilessly for falling to the fifth round. And X isn't a fun space when you're that guy either. So my heart goes out to Shador. I actually kind of feel bad for him. I know it's hard to feel bad for him because he's Deion's kid. But, man, nobody should have to deal with what he dealt with. That was kind of bullshit.
Well, this is what happens when you want to make music. You don't want to play football. I think I watched, like, the night before the draft, there was a video on YouTube of Cam Ward and Shador doing a workout together. And, man, are their mentalities completely fucking different. Shador is out there just trying to be a celebrity. I do think the media and the executives and everybody treated him as he almost got the Bronny effect to where it was kind of like, oh, you're LeBron's kid. Of course you're going to get picked, blah, 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 blah. I know I said he wasn't a first round. I even said he might, but to be a goddamn fifth round, dude, the kid's got talent. He was a finalist in like several, I think he won several awards this year. He had like 38 touchdown passes, several plays where he's throwing across his body, 60 yards on a dot. He's got the talent. But you hear about the interviews. You hear about, watch everybody else's draft room. They're on a couch with like their family and stuff. And it's like their friends and everybody in the background huddled around a TV. You see his draft room. It's fucking legendary on the wall, all that. It's was cringy at first. And at first you're like, I hope he doesn't get picked. I hope every executive with his fucking sideways hats and coming into these meetings saying whatever the god hell he says, I hope he gets picked second round. And man, but like Nico was saying, you wake up Sunday and you're like, he's not fucking picked. And you're like, what is going on? You're like, something happened. Something was said. He did something. But his talent is like a second round talent. So it's like the daddy effect. Like you were saying, he's got the helicopter parent. I think there was already a report that I read that Deion wanted to be involved in the first meeting between Shadur and Cleveland. So like, what in the LeVar Ball is going the fuck on? Like, it's crazy. It's also, I think Chris brought up the stat. What was it? 1 in 60 quarterbacks that have been drafted in the fifth round have been successful or have had some sort of starting success. He's got everything stacked against him, which is terrible. The prank call was so upsetting. I feel so bad. If that was my kid that did that and I was the defensive coordinator for the Falcons or whatever, like, I'm killing my kid. Like, he's dying in a video game. But I didn't see fifth round. I know I said not a first round Jackson Dart before, but I didn't see Dylan Gabriel going first. I didn't see Jalen Milroe going first. I know he had a great season rushing, but like, the talent was there. I want to know. I really want to know. I hope one day we find out what was said or what he did. But it's the old saying, boys, dress for the job you want. I saw the videos of him showing up. I have no problem with that. I wear backwards hats. I do all that all day, but I don't do that when I'm going to a fucking job interview. Like, and essentially that's what these are. I know you have the tape that speaks for yourself, but it's like, you could have every degree in the world, dude. Your resume speaks for itself, but you're also presenting yourself as a resume. You are your own product. So like, you speak more than a piece of paper does. I want to know what he said in that Giants meeting, dude. Cause that definitely, I thought it was going to be Saints, Giants all day. Those were the two. Derek Carr having his issues. Spencer Rattler's not the guy. I don't even know who else the Saints have. But yeah, fifth round, I feel bad for the kid.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, guys, we could talk about this for an hour. There are so many different narratives and stories. And like Nico mentioned, conspiracy theories. And you guys know I love me a good conspiracy theory. But you're right. I mean, we talked about, like, is he going to the Saints at 9? That's when Matt said he's probably not a first-round pick. The Steelers needed a quarterback. The Browns, I guess, kind of needed a quarterback, but there's no reason that Dylan Gabriel should have been off that board before Shadur Sanders. And so I would echo what Nico said. Like, it went from laughing and being like, ha, that's what you get, to like, I kind of feel bad for this guy. I would agree with you guys as far as Deion playing a big part in this, the LeVar Ball effect, whatever you want to call it. But let's be honest, like, Shadur did himself no favors either. The whole set, the way he carries himself, the flashing the watch, being not really leading a team to much success. Like, yeah, his individual stats were pretty good, but as a team, they, even with the Heisman winner, they didn't really reach too much success. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, so I'm not gonna chime in too much on that. But man, it's just, for me, I think maybe not the funniest thing, but the most interesting thing, I'll briefly touch on maybe one conspiracy theory here, is this was the reaction from the Browns draft room when they selected Shadur Sanders. Just some little golf claps. The GM there, not like stank face almost. The theory here is that the Browns owner made a call and said, you draft Shadur Sanders. You take him right here. And I will give him, you know, Shadur a little bit of props. When he got announced, he was hype. He was dancing. He was jumping in the pool. He was wearing his Cleveland Browns hat in the club all night with his Louis Vuitton suitcase and celebrating. He could have curled up. He could have been pissed, but it looks like he's going to tackle it head on. And I would also say, to give Shadur a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, I think he walks a fine line with his dad of, if he goes against him and is like, I want to be my own man, would Deion respect him going his own way, or would he cut him off and be like, fine, you want to do it on your own? 100% you do it on your own then. And I don't know, you grow up with Prime as your dad, you're going to be a little fucked up. Let's be honest. Like, that's the last thing I'll say on that. Hey, I'm just calling it how I see it. I'm sure there are going to be more developments in that story. It's going to be very curious to see what the Cleveland Browns do. They're not going to have five quarterbacks on their roster to start the season. That is for sure. Honestly, I would not be surprised if Shador Sanders is their day one starter. If he really gets in there, gets to work, shows them he's serious about football, fuck it. He could be starting day one for them. But fellas, like I said, plenty of time we'll have to talk about football. This next topic I could go all night on as well. There's just so much going on in the world of sports. And now here in the Valley, the Arizona Diamondbacks, fellas. Oh my God. It has been a roller coaster season. And we are like 40, 30, 35 games into this season. I mean, where do you want to start? AJ Puck injured, might be out for the season. Justin Martinez, velocity down, might be injured. Ketel Marte is injured, but he's coming back this week. Gino Suarez hit four home runs in a loss. We called up Dre Jameson. We sent Dre Jameson down. Kevin Ginkle is reactivated. He's available. I mean, fuck it. Mike, what are you thinking? Where do you want to start?
Let's start with some positive, because I feel like the first hour of the show has been generally positive, except for obviously Shador. Let's talk about Gino, the four home run game, man. Come on. You know the guy has been struggling ever since the first 5 days, right? First five games, five home runs. Then he goes into an absolute dry spell. But man, oh man, what an absolute showing. The first time that any player in the major leagues has hit four home runs since another Arizona Diamondback, JD Martinez, in 2018. And then I think the one before that, Scooter Gennett. Gino Suarez was playing in that game as well. He was at third base. Awesome. But it does kind of coincide. So, yes, the positive, but what's the negative? We find a way to drop this game because the consistent decisions from Torrey Lovello right now are becoming head scratchers. I know there's been the issues with Justin Martinez and the dead arm. You know, they threw him back to back, and there's now concerns about his velocity being about 3 miles per hour less. AJ Puck, it sounds like he's not going to have surgery, but he's still months away after it was just, you know, a 10-day IL stint, and they didn't truly convey at first how bad it was, and now it looks like it's a more pressing issue. But at least we are getting Kevin Ginkle back. I don't know if he pitched today. I don't think he had to, because Rodriguez got massacred. Just long ball after long ball, it seemed like. Pete Alonso, Lindor, we knew this was going to be a tough series. And guys, the stretch that the Diamondbacks are coming up on is a daunting one as well. And I know a lot of people, Chris, you might not like it, but a lot of people always start off and say it's too early in the season. We're only in April. Well, the calendar is turning to May on Thursday. And we know that this NL West is becoming an elite division. And the Diamondbacks sitting in fourth place, dropping these series kind of inexcusably, the previous couple, and now seeing what's ahead of them, you know, the Giants, the Dodgers a couple of times, it's all top teams that are probably going to be in playoff contention. So you have to strike while the iron is hot, and it doesn't seem like the Diamondbacks are doing that early in the season. Now, if you look at where we're sitting right now after today's loss, what are we at? Four games back, which it's not bad, but look at this NL West, guys. I mean, 19 wins, both for the Giants and the Dodgers. The Padres, a lot of people are starting to kind of put them on the upper echelon. If the Dodgers were to falter, that's their pick to win the NL West. But too many concerns, still defensively, too many concerns with this starting unit. And I don't care if it's early. I think we were talking about it a little bit earlier today. It wasn't specifically but for baseball, but you had said, you know, our favorite time of season is always basically the preseason or before season start, because there's high expectations that are leveraged on teams like the Arizona Diamondbacks. When the hell are we going to be able to just come out and meet those expectations? What year is that going to happen? I'm still waiting for it. I hope it happens soon, man, because this has not been the start that I envisioned from this Diamondbacks team. And I'm starting to get a little bit worried about what's going to be coming for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is the second year in a row where we're sitting here before the season starts saying we might have the best pitching rotation in the league last year. And then it got even better. Now, Eduardo Rodriguez, after today's game, is sitting with like a 6.06 ERA. Zach Gallen is garbage. Probably should be playing in Reno, if we're being completely honest. Corbin Burns isn't living up to the hype. Brandon Pfaadt is the only pitcher on our staff that looks good right now. Honestly, if he keeps it up, he's looking at an all-star appearance. I mean, Mike, I appreciate you wanting to bring the positive, but for me, it's all negative. So I'm going to pump the brakes. I mean, Nico, you're rocking the D-backs hat here. What are you thinking?
Yeah, boys, I want to be so optimistic. It's hard because the entire season before, I sat here and said our bullpen is fucking trash. And this year, for some reason, at the beginning of the season, everybody kept saying, no, Nico, the bullpen's not trash. We got a good bullpen this year. And then what the fuck happens? Our bullpen is fucking trash. It is a fucking toxic dumpster fire that I sit four rows behind every Saturday and Sunday for the next 28 fucking games. And I smell that shit burn. It is trash. We are a toxic wasteland in the bullpen. God help us. Ken Kendrick, pull your fucking head out of West Virginia's ass and come help us. For the love of Christ Almighty, I can't do this for another season, man. We have one of the best offensive Diamondback teams that I think we've had in a long time. Corbin Carroll is unbelievable this season. He had two triples in the game on Sunday, both sub 12 seconds to third base, which is nuts. I can't. Justin Martinez with the dead arm, and then we put him back-to-back because that was a smart idea. Torey Lovello doing things like putting Joe fucking Mantiply in when Joe Mantiply needs to be wiping the shit out of fucking horses' stalls and not throwing fucking baseballs. Like, sometimes this organization makes me want to just jump into the bullpen like a fucking lawn dart headfirst. Like, I don't understand some of the moves. The fact that, like, Gino is hitting 202, but, like, has a 568 slugging percentage. What world are we living in that this is happening? Our answer to fucking losing Christian Walker is Paven goddamn Smith. Like, what the fuck is happening if you are a Diamondbacks fan? I love this team so much, and they hurt me so often, but yet, just like a fucking toxic relationship, I come crawling back. Oh, Mr. Kendrick, will you sell me your tickets? Oh, Mr. Kendrick, let me watch your team. You got Corbin Burns, Mr. Kendrick? Let me be in attendance. Turns out Corbin Burns can't pitch unless he's got some sort of, I don't know, brouhaha witch festival that he's got to do. It's a team that I want to love, but they don't want to love me. And that I'm going to step off my soapbox. Goddamn, I hate to love the Diamondbacks sometimes.
Dude, it's tough because I am a big Dre Jameson fan. I loved having him in that bullpen. Got brought up for three games. Honestly, didn't too bad. A 3 ERA is not great for a guy out of the bullpen, but he's coming off of Tommy John. This is his first time back. Give him a try. But no, Torrey thinks Scott McGow is better than fucking Dre Jameson. Just absolutely... I really struggle to like Torey Lovello. Good guy. Seems like a great guy. But as the manager of this team, I think fans are just over it, man. Like the decisions he makes are just absolutely confusing. Taking Jake McCarthy back to AAA, bringing up Jorge Barroza. I don't know if you guys know this about Barroza. He started in today's game. His career batting average is 160. Career. From last year and this year, now granted, he's played all of 15 games in the MLB, I guess 16 after today. So they want to see what they have in him. But he's a squidget, not a very big guy, plays center field. I mean, we got McCarthy and Thomas. Why are we benching Thomas for Barroza? Why are we sending McCarthy down for Barossa. I know McCarthy had a tough time starting the season, and maybe that has something to do with it. Send him down to AAA, get his head right, bring him back up. But man, oh man, is it frustrating. Matt, have you been keeping up with all this nonsense?
I'm going to be honest. No, not this season. I was so into it last season, and the reason why is because of Nico. The way Nico just spoke, I felt that. I felt deja vu. I felt like it's the same thing, dude. It's the same thing every fucking year with this team. It's one or the other. It's we can't pitch, we can't hit. Our manager's a fucking idiot. Ownership's stupid. It's one or the other. It's always something. This team can never just come out and, like Mike said, just meet expectations. Like we're in a division. This is why it's like terrifying. I feel so bad for every Colorado Rockies fan that is on the face of this earth. Their standings look like our softball team. What are they, 4-24? Fucking atrocious, dude. So thank God we're not Rockies fans and we're not doing a Rocky Mountain High podcast or some shit. We live in Arizona. So thank God for that. But we play in a division where the Padres are now good. The Dodgers are always going to be a 100-plus win team every fucking season. I get it's 162 games. We have a long time to go. We've only played 31, but like, it would be cool if we could just start, you know, early. I know sometimes we start early and then we fizzle out at like the worst time, but can we just play like a full season, like a one good season of baseball? That's it. Just one. Not asking for much. I mean, we kind of had it. The World Series run, that kind of covered about 2 years of fuck ups for the franchise. I was really excited. I had like the hangover. I was like, cool. This season, the beginning of this season, my fantasy football or fantasy baseball team has sucked too. I'm so afraid to get invested because I don't want to fucking get mad. Like I don't want to get angry. Like I want to be excited. I want to like kind of not look for a month. And it's like that old superstition where it's like, if I watch the team, they play terrible. If I don't pay attention, maybe they'll do good. Like maybe if I just never fucking look at a Facebook post by them, never look at ESPN, get rid of the live updates, maybe when I look come All-Star break, we'll be like 3.5 games behind the Dodgers for second or something like that. And in a place where everybody's happy and the articles aren't us talking about our fucking closer not being able to throw the fastball that he's known for fucking throwing. I don't know. I don't even watch him this season, dude. And it's already listening to Nico. It's like that. That's our fan base. It's like you listening to you guys, and it's the same fucking thing every year. It's like, can we just fix it? And everybody said it was fixed, and there was a band-aid on a fucking gunshot wound. So once we start to do good, and I don't have to get mad, which I guess is very bandwagon of me to say, but like I'm leaving the toxic relationship. I went to counseling. And they told me to not go back. And I'm not going back. Because until they stop drinking or doing whatever the fuck they're doing in that front office, I can't, dude. I can't sit there and get invested in it and watch us lose 8-3. I can't watch us be the 19th player in MLB history to hit fucking 4 home runs and we lose. That's like fucking Jokic getting a fucking 680 point, whatever the fuck, triple-double, and they lose. Like, I can't. No more. No more. I'm done. Once stuff starts to happen and we start to make changes, or there's like, I don't like Torrey. I know last season at the end of it, I said he's going to have a hot seat this season. I feel like it's boiling 30 games in.
He should have a hot seat.
And Matt, I would say I echo kind of a lot of what you're saying too, is, you know, being so invested, especially early within the season, especially with baseball where you play every single day. Sometimes cooler heads don't prevail, right? And we start nitpicking, you know, the possibilities of decisions and whatnot. But gentlemen, I mean, what have we been speaking ever since we didn't make the playoffs last year? Like, it literally is every game matters. And it just seems like Torrey is just trying to pull apart these pieces that don't need to be touched because he's trying to get fancy with playing matchups or doing this and giving guys off days. Like, when the 25-year-old really needs a day off, like, come on. But you can even see it today. I mean, Corbin Carroll has been scorching hot, one of the best, if not the best, leadoff hitter in the majors, and you move him to the two hole today to put Jerry up top. Alec Thomas has been hitting against left-handed pitching today, but you sit him for the first game of a series against a team in the NL that you could possibly be playing in the playoffs? Like, set the expectation now of going to get wins immediately. It just seems like Torey Lovello always has the we'll get him next time mentality. You know what I'm saying? Instead of taking what is right in front of him and then adjusting after that, it's always, well, we can't put him out there because of this, or, you know, he's holding off. He had too much time. The bullpen session didn't work out so well, whatever. It's like, no, when Gino Suarez does something that only 19 players have ever done in Major League history, you go out and you get that win no matter what. And him dicking around with Justin Martinez and Shelby Miller at the end of that bullpen game is an absolute atrocity. And it's blasphemous. I don't give a damn what part of the season we're in. You win games like that, you have to, for the morale of your team, especially for one player who literally put the team on his back. So I'm not going to say disappointing, but to start the season, the expectations not being met is disappointing to for sure. But I mean, it's mediocre. That's we're in the middle of the line, and it shows with our schedule and where we sit in the win-loss column right now. So mediocre until they start showing anything otherwise. The only person who has really showed out is Corbin Carroll. So it's time to step up.
Yeah. I mean, there have been bright spots for sure, but it's time for all of the talent on this roster to, I need 90% of them to start playing to their potential at the same time. We can't have this guy's hot, everyone else is cold. Then they all take turns and it's like a revolving door of mediocrity in the interim. Guys, you're going to hear me bring this point up a lot throughout this entire season. We missed the playoffs by one fucking game last year. And do you know what team was responsible for that? The New York fucking Mets, who we're going to play our entire season series with over the next week and a half. It's insane. Guys, to put this in perspective, we haven't played any of our division teams yet. We won't until May 8th when we play the Dodgers. We don't play the Padres for the first time until June 13th. We've already lost the season series to the Cubs. We will not play them again. We're losing the season series to Atlanta currently. Those are two teams that could prevent us from making the playoffs through the wild card. And guys, it's not looking great at our prospects for the Mets. I mean, they're on pace to win their division, but over 150 games left. I don't want to be dramatic, but I'm going to be dramatic because of that fact that we missed the playoffs by one game. So I don't want to hear anybody on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Reddit, anywhere say that, oh, it's early. Oh, it's too early. Give them a chance. No, every game matters. Games in April, games in May can impact if we make the playoffs or not in September. I just need them to fucking buckle down. The starting pitch, it starts with the starting pitching, ironically enough. Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen need to be a guaranteed W every time they step on the mound. Eduardo Rodriguez, we're paying him a lot of money to lose games and look like dog shit. He needs to step up. The bullpen, I understand health is largely out of your control, but Torey needs to manage the bullpen better. Those guys need to get healthy, get right, and enough of this long leash, trusting your guys. Just if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Call a spade a spade. Now, there's already rumors circulating of the Diamondbacks being interested in Cardinals closer Ryan Helsley. Pretty hard to believe that they'd be able to pull off a trade that early. I think we're going to have to wait a couple months as we sneak up to the trade deadline and believe that there are going to be other teams submitting offers to get his services. But I think if the D-backs can at least maintain and be within reach of a playoff spot by the time the trade deadline comes around, they're going to have to be buyers. And then we'll start having those conversations about who we got to get rid of. And honestly, we talk about the Suns where it's like everybody but Booker, man. It's going to be a short list for the Arizona Diamondbacks as well. Corbin Carroll's obviously untouchable. But I mean, man, my list isn't too long, but I hate to keep saying it and sound like a broken record, but that is another conversation for another day. And I love talking to you guys about all this stuff. I could go on for hours, but we all have wives that would like our attention. So let's finish out this live stream talking about the NBA playoffs, gentlemen. No Phoenix Suns, but it's been entertaining nonetheless. My favorite point so far has been Tyler Hero saying that they are not going to get swept. pulling a Bradley Beal, but doing it way better than Bradley Beal because they got blown out by 50 fucking points. God damn. Mike, I know you've been keeping a close eye on the playoffs. What are you liking so far?
55 points. Now, I felt like the Cleveland Cavaliers were probably going to be a shoe-in to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? We saw that the Boston Celtics took care of business today, winning that series 4-1 against the Magic. Same with the Pacers over the Bucks. It's only a matter of the time, probably, until the Knicks close out that series as well. But, gentlemen, I think the big storylines from the NBA playoffs have been the chippy ball, man. There has been a lot of, you know, those kind of plays that circulate on social media in regard to, you know, some pushing and shoving. What did we see today? Giannis Antetokounmpo getting into it with Trey Halliburton's dad. And even before Damian Lillard took the floor, he was chirping at Tyrese as well. So, man, we've seen it in all the series. The Grizzlies Thunder series obviously was kind of a stinker because the Thunder are just a juggernaut right now. The best series that we've seen so far, I would say, is Nuggets Clippers. And you can see Nuggets are up by 8 right now in that one. But I think it's been a great start to the NBA playoffs. There's been some good storylines surrounding some matchups. I'd say with the Knicks and the Pistons, you know, Malik Beasley having some comments for Karl Anthony Towns. But the last one I have to touch on before I pass it over to you guys is, as a Phoenix Suns fan, the series that you need to be paying attention to if you're a Phoenix Suns fan is what's happening with this Rockets and Warriors series. That game 4 last night showed that the Houston Rockets truly do not have a closer. It was basically Alfred Sengun and Fred VanVleet going back and forth trying to make buckets. And if you're going to win a series, you need some high profile. You need a high profile piece that's a little bit better than those two guys. And if you're a Phoenix Suns fan, who does that mean? That means Kevin Durant. His name is going to be floated out heavy and often when the Rockets lose this series. Because at this point, them dropping that game last night, inexplicable fashion after Draymond Green was out for a consistent amount of minutes in the second half with foul trouble, and them not being able to push their 7-point lead that they had at halftime and them going back and forth, I don't think there's any way the Houston Rockets win this series. But it also gives me a pause for concern when you talk about what the trade potential would be for the Phoenix Suns, because some of the guys that have been linked to them, like Jalen Green, Tari Eason, Jabari Smith Jr., the only one who I have seen that really is worth anything is Jabari Smith Jr., and it's not that much. Guys, Jalen Green wasn't even playing the last 6 minutes down the stretch, the leading scorer for the Houston Rockets in the regular season. And he's not playing in crucial matchups in the playoffs, the first round, that is. It just kind of puts into perspective where the Phoenix Suns truly are. But it's been a fun start to the NBA playoffs, and I can't wait to keep watching, man.
Yeah, man. I think another storyline that I don't know if intrigues is the right word, but we just saw tonight the Pacers eliminate the Bucks. Damian Lillard going out with that torn ligament. I forget which one it is.
Achilles.
That's what I thought. Yep. Achilles. After having the blood clot issue, I mean, I feel for Dame. He had, and Nico knows better than anyone, Dame struggled through his time with Portland, finally getting to what he believed to be a contender with Giannis, only to go out like this. And now the rumors are swirling of Giannis being on his way out. So you got crazy Suns fans like my brother, shout out Matt, sending me trade machine deals for giving KD to the Bucks for Giannis. And it's just like, you know, what's the difference? It's two cheeks of the same ass when you really look at it. What difference is that going to make? I'd rather have KD, if we're being honest, in that scenario. But I love the implications with the Phoenix Suns here. And I agree with Mike, man, the young talent that we were, you know, tantalized with as being potential return for a Kevin Durant trade isn't very intriguing to me anymore. I know the Suns are going to be going into a rebuild and that's going to have to be factored in, but sheesh, man, sheesh. Nico, Matt, have you guys been watching any playoff basketball?
I have. I love playoff basketball, man. It seems Honestly, it is. It's the only time you get it sometimes during the regular season, but it is the only time that like I watch basketball and I feel my blood heat up. Like when I'm watching things like get like chippy and I'm watching guys go at each other. And then like these like iconic moments are kind of like cemented in your head. Like I'll never forget Russ rocking the baby on Dame and then Dame just coming back and like daggering Russ. It's those kind of moments, you know, you had like Orlando and Boston get a little chippy. You had, there have been some moments here in these playoffs that are, that's my favorite. I love one because an NBA fight, man, it is a whole lot of bark and very, very little bite. So it is my favorite thing to watch. That and like, I think honestly, as a jaded, like Arizona sports fan, I have slight PTSD around chippy NBA playoffs because I don't know if anybody remembers, and I'm probably going to date myself really hard on this, but Steve got checked into the scorer's table, and Amari took a half step off the bench, and they decided to ruin our fucking playoffs.
Well, did you see that? So that happened. One of these other games in the Nuggets Clippers series, and they came out and they said Michael Porter Jr. is not going to be suspended for coming onto the floor.
Yes.
Bullshit, man. Yeah. I mean, PTSD is the right way to call it, Nico.
Took a ring right out of our hands.
That's David Stern versus pussy ass Adam Silver, though. I just had to put that in there. I fucking hate Adam Silver. Sorry.
Honestly, fuck them both. And guys, now that I got you here, come a little closer. I'm just going to disappear. We're going to suck for a while, guys. We're going to suck for so long. The Suns are going to be premier $5 basketball tickets. God damn it. And honestly, in this, like, I'm having kind of flashbacks to Dame in Portland. We're going to waste Dame. We're going to waste Devin Booker away here. And it's going to be a question of what if. It's going to be Larry Fitzgerald all over again. We're going to get so goddamn close only to just fall on our face time and time and time again. It sucks, but I think that's honestly what this is going to be because Mike hit it on the head. If that's who we're trading for, if that's the fucking haul that we're going to get for Kevin Durant, cut him. Let's just fucking suck for a while. Let's just fucking rebuild. Let's draft. Like, fucking cut him. I don't want any of those garbage cans. Or keep his ass, because I honestly don't even think we should be trading him. I don't think the issue is Kevin Durant, but I understand that pieces have to move in order for this team to be like a team. And unfortunately, Bradley Beal is not one of those pieces that are going to move, no matter how hard I yell it from my apartment, that I want him gone. Playoff – Suns takes aside, the playoff basketball is fun. I also do like sometimes when the Suns aren't in because I get to like kind of jump on a bandwagon here. Unfortunately, the Magic lost tonight. That's a bandwagon I'll always jump on just out of the dopeness of what the Orlando Magic's jerseys and courts and all that kind of shit are. But like sitting here, man, I got to be rooting for my man James Harden and the Clippers. And I know that that's a hard one. As like a Suns fan, but like the ASU ties are really all I got in the Western Conference. I can't otherwise. You know, I love Anthony Edwards and him telling that lady that his dick is bigger than both of them or whatever he said that he got fined for $200K for. I mean, put this man on every video game for the next 10 years. Make him the face of the league. Do whatever you got to do to get people to see Anthony Edwards. That man's primetime TV. But yeah, fuck, I love playoff basketball, man.
Ant-Man's the man, dude. That guy's wild. He's so good for the league because he just doesn't give a fuck. And he also has fuck you money, so he can do that. I honestly have only been really watching a lot of the Knicks. I know that's kind of gross, but I've enjoyed watching them. I know they lost tonight, but that's been a good series, dude. It's been chippy too. It's been one of those ones where they've just been talking shit the whole time. Probably why I'm intrigued with it, because I don't watch a whole lot of basketball when the Suns aren't playing. Man, you got to think though, Kevin Durant's like what, 37, 36? Like at this point, how much are you expecting to get back on Kevin Durant? It's like a 1994 Corvette was nice in 1994, but after it's been sold four fucking times and it's all so old with so many miles, like, I'm just afraid that I almost agree with Nico, dude. Just like, if it's one of those things where the return on investment is just like absolute garbage filler, just cut them, like, fucking suck, figure something the fuck out. Draft, I don't know, go to a complete rebuild. But I also agree that with the Suns, they're wasting Devin Booker, which kind of sucks. It's a Larry Fitzgerald all over again. But I want to see the Lakers lose. That'd be cool. Fuck the Lakers, fuck anything LA sports. So that's cool to see them down. I'm kind of shocked that the Rockets lost that game last night. I did see a little bit of some clips from that. I love Jimmy Butler also, so that's okay with that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if what we're gonna get for Kevin Durant. I don't know if he I know everybody, I don't know if he's the problem. I think it was a lot to do with like coaching and a couple of other things when the games I did watch. But he's one of those ones where his name's, it's a big name. He's done it before. He gets traded all the time. But him for Giannis is, that's absurd. I think I agree with you. I think it's just like two wrongs don't make a right, I guess is the best way. But three, what is it? Two lefts make a right, three lefts make a right. So maybe if we figure something out, we can get going the right way. But nah, I don't know. I think playoff basketball is probably the most fun though, because it definitely gets a little more polarized and it gets chippy, dude. I think you start to really see like the old school mentality of just like kind of hard knock basketball where like people are like, I know tonight, I forget who it was talking shit to Jalen Brunson. And he's like, you are flopping motherfucker. It's like, yo, dude's like, okay.
That was Jimmy. Oh no, never mind. I'm thinking Jimmy Butler talking shit to,
but that's what I'm saying. It's almost every game. Like every game is getting like sick clips or sound bites where like these dudes are just, it's like a 30-second, just like, where's Ron Artest? Are we going to fucking malice in the palace? Like, it's like, yeah, your blood does boil a little bit where you're like, oh, like these, they're big dudes. Like at the end of the day, I know they're on TV and they look small, but they're like a bunch of mics out there that are getting fucking mad. Well, yeah.
So tonight it was Jalen Duran of the Detroit
was Pistons. That who, so yeah, he like okay. Looked, it was under the basket, like it was a interesting play, but yeah, he like looks over him, he goes, you're a flopping motherfucker. And he like totally read his lips. I was like, oh shit, it's like, let's go, dude.
Right, but then yesterday was, Chris, it was Jimmy Butler saying to Dylan Brooks.
They were on the
free throw line, turned over, looked at him, he was like, you're a bum and a bitch. And then the ref came over and was like, are you saying that to me? He's like, no, I'm saying it to him.
And he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He ain't wrong one
bit. No, Dylan Brooks is a massive bitch. Man, I am so, like, I just have to talk about Anthony Edwards for a second. I love to hate that man. Like, he is a menace. He is an absolute menace, but entertaining nonetheless. Like, the whole DX crotch chop he was doing to the Suns, like, he's a villain, guys. He's an absolute fucking villain. But I've loved it. I've loved the chippiness of the playoffs. I'm going to keep watching despite the Suns not being present. Do want to touch on the KD thing again, just real, real briefly, because I'm pretty indifferent to if he stays or if he goes. He's only got 1 year left on his contract. And I also don't really care what we get in return, because the goal really would just be to get off the contract. But to my last point, it doesn't really matter, because after next season, he's probably gone anyway. You're not going to re-sign him. The biggest issue is Bradley Beal and him not, one, taking up so much of the fucking salary cap, but two, if he's going to be here, he's not playing like a $50 million, $60 million guy. Let's make one thing clear. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant were not the problem. It was the cast of characters around them that were the problem. And yeah, I think, you know, Frank Vogel wasn't great, but Mike Budenholzer was much worse. And now we're in a situation where we're looking for another head coach and we're getting clowned on it. I think it was Jeff Van Gundy or Stan Van Gundy, whichever one's the broadcaster now, was basically saying, yeah, the Suns head coaching vacancy is the most attractive job because you get a 4-year contract, but you only have to coach for one of them. It's just absolute bullshit that we're now in these types of conversations, and it's embarrassing. And I would love, it's not going to happen, but I would love for Matt Ishbia to come out and be like, all right, given James Jones the keys and the steering wheel back, he's in charge. I'm just going to fuck off to Michigan and not be involved in the day-to-day because I got a little heavy-handed making some wink and nod suggestions of things I wanted to have happen. And now we're in this fucking shit show.
Well, and Chris, like you're saying it, man. That's the other thing. They haven't committed to James Jones, but they're saying that he's in the driver's seat for the head coaching search and his job is up at the end of June, but we don't know if he's going to be the GM. Like, it's still a shit show. And unfortunately, it's probably going to be like that for a while. Yeah, we're going to keep a keen eye on it this offseason, that's for sure.
Oh, it should be fun. I'm sure our optimism will be sky high in September, only to come right back down once they start playing in October. I mean, fuck it. Maybe they'll start 8-0 or 9-0, 8-1, whatever the fuck great start they had this last season. And continue that momentum, but curious to see what happens. Fellas, it's been a lot of fun chatting draft, baseball, basketball. There's a lot left on the table, a lot of meat on that bones, but we'll have to wait till next time. Nico, I want to give everyone a chance to go around and say their piece. Do you have anything for the people before we get out of here?
No, not much, man. We're about to get into the dog days. Baseball is going to be pretty much all we're going to really have for a little bit, which is fine with me. I am very excited. As much as I lamented and cried and bitched and moaned, I am very excited for Diamondbacks baseball. It is a scary, scary division to be a part of. So I think that, like, yeah, I'm pumped. I'm ready for the baseball season to really start get rolling, get going, get into the All-Star break, all that kind of stuff. Cardinals football, man, like we said, never a better time to be optimistic than right around the draft. It is, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, it is our year. So, yeah, other than that, guys, I don't got a whole lot for you. Thanks for having me on. Great time, as always.
Always a pleasure, Nico. Mr. T Jr., thanks for coming back for 2 weeks in a row. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I got to fill in for him when he's in
Europe. We gotta reach our one Tallman quota, and
you gotta have one of us.
Beautiful.
But no, it's always fun. I enjoy it. Man, I feel bad for Damian Lillard. It looked like he tore his Achilles again, was the report. So, or not again. I don't know. I forget what he did before. I know he messed it up before. I don't think he tore it, but tore it this time.
Yeah.
Something. So yeah, either way, that sucks. I love that dude. I think that guy's such a great pro, super quiet, humble dude. But yeah, don't have a whole lot. I'm ready to be defaulted into having to give a fuck about the Diamondbacks when I have nothing else to do. So that'll be great. Hopefully by the time that comes around, they're a little bit better and we're not dealing with people maybe getting surgeries, not getting surgeries, being off for 3 weeks. So we'll see where they're at with that. Hopefully homeboy gets his arm speed back together. But man, I don't know. Excited for offseason, Cardinal football. We'll see how that looks. But as always, guys, it's fun to shoot the shit and get into some fun chitter chatter about the world of sports and the going ons.
All right, Mike, save the best for last. It's going to be me after you, but I'll let you go now.
All right, gentlemen, I have two action items for the class or some homework assignments. First one, I'm catching the golf bug. So we're going to have to do a little bit of planning to get out on the course. I would like to do sooner rather than later before it becomes 110 degrees here in Arizona. And the second one, I don't know, this is probably maybe Mr. T Jr., but probably more Nico. I need to be sourced a Will Johnson Michigan jersey with the national championship 2023 patch on it. So get to work. Appreciate you guys as always, man.
Nico, if you can get two of those, double that fucking order.
Wouldn't that be a 2024 patch?
So technically, that's the game was January 8th, 2024, but it was the 2023 national championship. It's basically that BS how they do the games a year before and all that, whatever. But
that makes sense. I was just trying to remember like the patch that was on the jersey. But either way, that would be sick. Get Michael Benjamin that jersey. Last thing I got to say on my way out here is, fuck Derek White. He sold my parlay tonight. He had been getting 10 plus points going back a month and a half. I had him over 11 and a half points and he managed a measly 5 points. So catch him on my do not bet list. I do keep a list in a notes app on my phone of players I will never bet again. And I will share that with you one day. We might need to just do like a betting stream or a segment on a round table of betting, but all my homies hate Derek. Well, maybe not all my homies. Maybe it's just me, but I'm never betting Derek White again. Anyway, fellas, it's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you all hopping on with us for this VSP roundtable. We go live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. right here on YouTube. So make sure you like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you can find out when we're going live. But it's all right if you miss us, because our streams are available for playback immediately right here on our YouTube channel. You can also catch us next day on all podcast streaming services, where we post every live stream. We also post our in-person podcast, the Heat Check podcast, which we do once a month with myself, Mr. Benjamin, and VSP Tallman, who will be returning in short order. I believe he should be on the stream next Tuesday, barring any work or in-law related incidences. But nevertheless, make sure you also follow us on Instagram, X, TikTok, Threads, anywhere at AZ_VSP. Check the description. And Mike,
one last thing.
Yep.
999 challenge on Saturday. We're live streaming it, baby. Let's go. Keep an eye out.
Mr. T Jr., are you coming? Saturday. Nine hot dogs, nine beers, nine innings, Diamondbacks baseball.
Not nine margaritas, bro. Trust me.
We tried to do the 999 challenge. We tried to do 9 minutes, nine margaritas, and nine draft picks. Didn't work out, boys. We learned our lesson. I'm sure our next draft, everybody will be monitoring what is in my hand at any given time. So there will be none of that.
Everyone's got to offer Matt a water bottle and take away his drink at the draft whenever. We didn't get a firm answer, but we'll find out. But yes, tune in.
Yeah, Okay. We'll connect.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, we'll work it out. But
my people reach out.
Yeah, so our next live, we're going live again this Saturday. Watch along with us as we watch the Diamondbacks game. It'll be a watch party. Do the 999 challenge along with us. Let us know how you're hanging in the comments, if you're keeping up pace. It's gonna be great. It's going to be great. But thank you all once again for tuning in. For Mr. Benjamin, Nico, and Mr. T Jr., I'm Chris Patrick, and we'll see you next time. Peace.